Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Lots to get to. Obviously, the New York Giants have announced who their new general manager is. Good afternoon, Evan. How are you today?
Oh, Kim? I am splendid. How you feeling? You good?
I'm doing great today. Good. I'm doing great today. You know, it's funny. Yesterday, there was a portion of the show where we were talking about should we make a list of, like, the top 10 coldest takes of all time.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
You know, and I've got some, you've got some. God knows the listeners have plenty. Ian O'Connor had that one in the paper about, you know, the Patriots will regret ever hiring Belichick. You know, we started to make a list, right? And we never really got to a top 10 of it. But I went home last night, turned on the telly, logged in as you, and watched.
To watch the Knicks?
Gotta watch my Knicks.
That was fun.
Watch the New York Knicks in a game. And I said to you as we were walking out the door, that's a lot. They're not going to lose to the Pelicans after the way they lost the game before. Right. Pelicans are not a very good basketball team. We're at the Garden. Crowd's dying for something to cheer about, right? And then it dawned on me at the end of the game, all right, in an embarrassing loss, frankly, for the Knicks, who got fined today $25,000 because their superstar all-world player in his own mind hasn't spoken to the media in like 9 out of the last 10 days. Or games, I should say, right? In any event. Because I know the focus is Giants, so I want to get to that real quick. But it dawned on me the greatest cold take of all time. The single greatest cold take that cannot be defeated by any other cold take. It beats all the Francesa cold takes on the Funhouse account. It beats anything I've said that's stupid. It beats anything that you've said that's stupid.
Can I guess, by the way?
The greatest cold take of all time.
Is the greatest cold take of all time two words?
Don't say it. The greatest cold take of all time is Bing Bong. And we were going to buy the rights to it.
You know what's crazy? That wasn't the two words I was thinking about.
Oh, is that right?
The two words I was thinking about was
Bing Bong.
We here.
Oh, not me.
Because we here ain't going to last much longer, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Bing bong! Bing
because
bong! That's the worst take of all time.
The vitriol I felt. I was in the building last night, and I joined in. I admit it. I had fun doing it. I don't care. Who knows? The vitriol in that building towards Julius Randle and to the Knicks in general was palpable.
Well-deserved, too. So we'll get into that because everyone was in the building last night. Obviously, the lead story today is, I guess, somewhat predictable. It seemed like this is the guy they wanted from Jump Street. I applaud the Giants. They brought 9 guys in or Zoom calls, had follow-ups with about half of them, and this was the target. This was the guy they wanted. I don't know if he's going to be any good or not, but they got the guy they wanted. That is always a good thing and a good sign from a franchise that needs desperate help. And Joe Shane, who's been the assistant with the Buffalo Bills. Of course, the Bills have now risen to prominence in the AFC. He's now your general manager. So congratulations if you're a Giant fan.
I think no matter who they hired, the positive was going to be it comes from outside the organization. First time since George Young. That was a huge win. And number two is going to come with the same caveat you said, which is we don't know. We don't know. There's reason to be optimistic. Why wouldn't you? If you're giving a guy an opportunity to be a GM for the first time, they're coming from a successful organization. They've paid their dues. Daboll's been around the league. Joe Shane's been around the league. He's done a million different things. He's worked his way up. You can look at the Bills' success and say, hey, how much did he help Brandon Bean build that roster, help Sean McDermott? But no matter who they hired, Craig, I think there was going to be that optimism of, hey, maybe he's the guy to turn the organization around.
This, right. No matter who they hired, it was not going to be a negative today.
No, there wasn't going to be a negative hire.
No, you're going to have a reaction to who the coach is for sure.
Yes.
Depending on who the coach is.
Yes.
And either you're either going to love it or you're going to hate it. And then it's going to come down to, all right, what players are we getting? Are the New York Giants under Joe Shane going to consider Deshaun Watson? Are they going to look to try to make a trade for a Russell Wilson or whomever? Does he believe you build solely through the draft and then poke holes or fill holes with certain free agents? Well, you know, that becomes the fun of this offseason, right? That's the fun of it. Now, they are not going to have a coach on Monday. That's not happening.
They can't.
Right. They can't.
I mean, I guess they could if they decide to hire certain candidates. Like, well, Brian Flores doesn't have a job. So if they decide to hire Brian Flores and quickly burst through these interviews, they can do it. But if they hire an active coordinator, a coordinator that's in the NFL playoffs, they're going to have to wait until that guy's eliminated.
Yeah, plus they do have to hire a minority candidate. Interview a minority candidate.
Well, Brian Flores is going to be interviewed.
Yes, I saw a great video about Brian Flores. A buddy of mine sent me this morning. I guess the Dolphins put it out. I don't even know what year. I assume it was shortly after he was hired. Maybe
this is when they
after.
Liked Brian Flores.
Yeah. So they put out a video. They followed. Brian Flores came back to Brownsville, where he grew up in Brooklyn. And he went back to the old tenement he lived in. He went back to Poly Prep, where he was fortunate enough to have a scholarship to go play football at, etc. And it was a real good insight into his background. You know, raised by a single mom, tough streets of Brownsville, and just comes across as, like, the greatest guy, like a guy you're rooting for to do well.
Right.
So, again, if Brian Flores is the guy, I think Giant fans would be thrilled with it. And then for some of us, like myself, who believe in the Holy Trinity, Evan, the Holy Trinity to me was pick your favorite GM, because I, to be fair, did not have a choice there, right?
Right.
Brian Flores, Deshaun Watson. To me, for the New York Giants, that's the Holy Trinity.
Well,
the Father, the Son, and
the Holy Ghost. Right? Was that close? I have no idea.
We're gonna let you get away with that one. Close enough.
What was it then?
Well, the Father.
Yes.
The Son.
Yeah.
Big Mac.
And the Holy Spirit.
It was pretty much the same.
The Holy Ghost.
Yeah, but Craig.
I've heard it like that.
Close enough.
Thank you. Would you agree though? Because I know that there's this natural feeling to assume Brian Flores means Deshaun Watson.
Let me define that.
Brian Flores makes it likelier they go after Deshaun Watson.
I think Brian Flores gives the Giants a seat at the table.
Well, they have a seat at the table either way.
But I think Brian Flores wants him.
No, I get that.
But I don't think Brian Flores would. I've never spoken to Brian Flores. My gut would be, you know, he took a calculated risk in Miami of going heads up against the general manager.
Right.
He felt his way, the GM felt otherwise, and was willing to fight. Mm-hmm. And that cost him his job, in my opinion. My gut would be, you don't get 3 or 4 or 5 head coaching jobs in the NFL.
Well, I don't think he's going to get...
I don't think he's going to fight for him.
If Joe Shane is interviewing Brian Flores and they have a lot of disagreements, they're not going to hire Brian Flores.
Correct.
It's as simple as that. But, like, you take Brian Daboll, who's going to be the other hot name, just logically he's a name because of the connection to Joe Shane, because of the Buffalo connection. Do you think Brian Daboll is not going to want an elite-level quarterback?
Of course he is. I don't think you could hire Brian Daboll.
Why?
I think it would kind of reek of what a lot of Giant fans were upset about, you know, recently, like only hiring from within. You know, the statement from Shane in today's press release is that we're going to cast a wide net. We're going to look at current coaches and coordinators. We're going to look at, you know, unemployed coaches. We're going to look everywhere. And that's the right answer. You have to, right?
Right.
So if you claim to put out this wide net, we're going to go find the best available candidate, and you go to the guy that you've been working with for the last however many years, there is the chance that people would not like that.
Yeah, but look at, I'll give you Leslie Frazier as an example, who's now a head coaching candidate, defensive coordinator. Leslie Frazier also worked with Joe Shane. Does that fit that as well? This is a relationship business.
Yes, but not to nitpick you using Leslie Frazier. I don't mean to do that. John fans don't want Leslie Frazier.
No, I'm not suggesting they are. Okay. I want to make that clear. I'm bringing up your point of this is a connections business.
Yeah, no, it is, for sure. Then don't cast the net. Go hire your best friend. Everything's good.
No, but it's not about hiring your best friend. It's about hiring a guy that you've worked with and hiring a guy that you saw do great work with Josh Allen and a guy that you think is ready to be a head coach.
Now, whether you believe this or not, I was told today that, and listen, I think this is going to be the case for every job that's out there. So I'm not telling you anything that's all that earth shattering. But I was told today, you know who told me. I just want to give you the exact text I got today. The text I got today is that not just that there's the belief here. This happened before they announced Shane today. And I'll give it to you if you want to fact check the time on it. Giant source tells me they're hiring Shane and Shane wants Brian Flores.
Okay.
Now, the Shane part turned out to be right.
Right.
Although that wasn't an out-on-the-limb prediction.
Nah, he seemed to be the favorite for the last week or so.
So let's see.
But I think Brian Flores is the favorite. Right now, it feels like it's Brian Flores, Brian Daboll, that those are the two hottest candidates. Because I think when you look at the other candidates, you've got Dan Quinn. Most Giant fans don't want Dan Quinn because they know Dan Quinn's not a very good head coach. They know that. They watched enough of Atlanta to know he ain't the answer. Leslie Frazier, I think, deserves another opportunity, but I'd agree with you. I don't think Giant fans are going to be enthralled with him. You know who else Joe Shane has a connection with? I find this one interesting.
Go ahead.
Joe Shane has a connection with another guy who deserves a second opportunity. In fact, you could argue he's one of the best defensive coordinators out there in football today, and that's Todd Bowles.
All right.
Your thoughts?
Todd Bowles is not coming back to New York. He's not. And for his sake, I hope he doesn't.
I'll tell you.
Like, I like Todd Bowles a lot. He's a great guy.
He's a good guy, yeah.
And he's going to be a head coach again. There's no doubt about that. Not in this city. And I think if you ask Todd Bowles that, too, unless the Giants were the only job that made him an offer,
right. Of
course you say yes to it. But Todd Bowles, I don't think, would ever want to be a head coach in this town again. I really don't. And for his sake, I hope Todd Bowles is successful somewhere else.
I think right now, for most Giant fans, and I put it out on Twitter as a poll before we went on the air just to try to get a sense, at least on Twitter, of what Giant fans want. Most Giant fans want Brian Flores. And I think they are high on Brian Daboll. But we need to start being more critical of Brian Flores. And I want to make something clear. I'm high on him. I think they should hire him. But I think it's important for you and I to start to question some of the things Brian Flores has done.
All right.
We can't act like he's Vince Lombardi yet.
He's not.
He's not.
No.
And
but you've been gung-ho on him.
I still am. But I also put a critical eye on things.
All right.
I can be gung-ho about something, but also ask a question. Like, for example, I want to ask a question. Why did Brian Flores have four offensive coordinators in 3 years? I can ask that question.
That's a fair question, yeah.
I'm curious.
Yeah.
I want to know. And so that doesn't mean, that's not me saying, wow, Brian Flores
doesn't. That's called due diligence.
It's I want to do our due diligence.
There you go.
I like Brian Flores because I think he can coach in the NFL. I saw that watching from afar, but also watching close enough at the Dolphins over 3 years. But I do question building a coaching staff.
Well,
that's a fair question to ask.
We'll get into all that. We'll get your take. You're a diehard Giant fan. You got the GM. The coach is next. Like, do you go to bed tonight happy that you got the GM you wanted? That it feels like there's a competent man in the room now making decisions for the Giants? We'll get into all that stuff. We'll get to the Knicks stuff. There's also a huge online debate going on about a wager that took place last night. For a lot of money in the NBA, Evan. And we'll get your take on that throughout the day. The guys will give you their picks on all the playoff games.
It's Carton and Roberts on The Fan. WFAN, WFAN-FM, and WFAN.com.
If someone saved a tweet of you or anyone else on this radio station, myself, saying something that turned out to be really stupid.
Well, it's a little different because we are in the business of we're paid to give opinions on things.
Well, I was
some ninth grader who was texting on his mom's,
It's not
iPhone 3
to
get your attention does not get saved.
The guy who sent it to me said it was a podcast, so it wasn't technically enough. My point to you, what was my point again? I forgot.
That you're immature. Yeah, and you save things that because they fuel you and your fandom.
They fuel me?
I guess.
It was sent to me.
You saved it.
No, it was sent to me.
Yeah, you know what? And you saved it. You still have it.
Well, I saved it because it was funny.
You saved it. You saved it.
How is this?
Because you figured there's going to come a moment when I control Knicks fans now that Julius Randle's playing like a bum. Okay? And by the way, Julius, you should call Carmelo Anthony up. You're never in the same class as Carmelo as a player. Not because you can relate to being that good, because you're not. But memo to you, watch how Carmelo Anthony in his Knicks career handled the boo birds and the negativity from the media. You know what Carmelo Anthony did? Every single night, after every single game?
Most nights.
Every single night?
But most nights.
Unless there's about his wife or Kevin Garnett.
Most nights.
He showed up.
He skipped up once in a while, but most nights I completely agree with you.
He showed up.
Let's just use the word most. That's
he it. Showed up.
Yes. Most nights.
Show, because you know what? Because that's what a guy does. That's what a man does. Oh, you're booing me? And I will remind you of this, Julius. You have something the rest of us don't have. You have this amazing skill that pays you over $100 million to use. So what are you pissed off about? You should be pissed at yourself. Shouldn't take it out of the media.
And you know who?
We're just trying to do their jobs.
You know who suffers from it?
Or the fan base, or your teammates.
Well, the teammates suffer because poor R.J. Barrett last night is being asked a tough question by Mark Berman. And you can hear it in R.J.'s answer. You have the audio of this bad boy? R.J. Barrett's being asked about the boos at Madison Square Garden. Now, R.J. Barrett is mostly not being booed at Madison Square Garden.
No.
But he's being asked about it. Mark Berman has to ask the question. And listen to poor R.J. Barrett.
You know what, Berman? You like to put people in tough spots, don't you? You like to put people in tough spots. But nah, I mean, like you said, we didn't play well. They got up, and they really just, they outplayed us today. And, I mean, that's all that could be said about it.
Berman is code for Randle. Mark Berman didn't put him in a tough spot. Julius Randle did. Because R.J. Barrett, who's the best player on this team, maybe when Derrick Rose is healthy, it's Derrick Rose, has to stand there.
Yep.
And answer questions that Julius Randle should have to answer.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's not fair to R.J. Barrett. So, look, whenever this comes up where a player refuses to talk to the media, it's not about the media and it's not even about the fans. It's about what you do to the guys that share the room with you. Julius Randle almost decapitated Evan Fournier. Now, we know Evan Fournier sucks, but Evan Fournier was trying to calm down an angry Julius Randle. And Julius Randle, I saw this live from my seat on the Chase Bridge, is flailing his arm at him. Yep. He's out of control.
And by the way, came out of the locker room after halftime, which is about a 10-minute break, and was still pissed off and yelling at the referees. Cost his team a technical at the end of the first half. Not that they would have won the game because they played like crap.
They were in the game at that time, though, correct?
I think they were down four, right?
It was a game.
Yeah.
The third quarter doomed them. How they came out as awful as they did in that third quarter was what was clearly the most embarrassing thing that's happened all year long.
I don't believe in this concept a lot because I don't say it a lot. You said it about Lindor this year.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
And I don't like saying it because I don't believe in it typically.
Mm-hmm.
But it's clear that Julius Randle can only handle New York when things are going well and or when there's no fans in the building. Because don't forget, Julius Randle's greatest moments as a Knick came in an empty building.
No, you're right. And I remember
when
people...
They did not come in front of a fan base who then adored him and laid out the red carpet for him. He was happy to talk after every game then. So it's so simple. Just show up and answer a couple dumb questions and move along and remember that your bank account has secured generational wealth for your family. And move on.
It's Carton and Roberts on The Fan. WFAN, WFAN-FM, and WFAN.com.
Little shout out right now to my main man, Sal Romeo, who's also on his way to the airport. His daughter goes back to school as well, I guess with mine. And they're all getting together in Newark, which is never a good story to say out loud.
The story doesn't start off well that way.
So the men drop their daughters off in Newark, New Jersey. That story doesn't have a happy ending. Have you ever turned on the news? The three girls were in Newark, New Jersey, and it ends with, and they won the lottery. You never hear that, do you?
No.
And then Constantine Manukadish sends me a note. He goes, I turned you guys on SNY, bro, at 4 o'clock. No mention of the Giants at all from 4 to 4:30. You know they got a new GM, right? I'm like, listen, Jack, first off, since you texted me that, the world should know that my dear friend, and he's a dear friend, I love him to death, Constantine Manukadish. Ready?
Yeah, Manukadish?
Manukadish. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's right. He was beside himself that the Giants fired Joe Judge.
He was a supporter?
Huge Joe Judge supporter.
Huh.
Yeah.
He was the one left.
Yeah. Wah! Why they fired Joe Judge? Wah!
So who does he want to have as the new head coach?
His opinion no longer matters.
It doesn't matter?
He's exposed himself as a bad fan.
Oh, I got one other candidate for you. Local guy. We love local, right? Brian Flores.
I prefer local, yeah.
Very interesting candidate who's getting interviews elsewhere. Raheem Morris. Went to Hofstra from New Jersey. Head coach at a very young age for Tampa. Has been a successful defensive coordinator. Right now he's with the Rams. Is going to get another opportunity, as he should. And the local connection. Went to Hofstra from New Jersey. Deserves another opportunity.
Well, hold on.
I'd have an interview with him.
No, you can't just say from New Jersey, Evan.
You want to know where in New Jersey?
Yeah, because if you're south of 195, you ain't from New York, brother.
Okay.
You're from Philadelphia.
I'll give you the info. You ready?
Yeah.
He was born in Newark, New Jersey.
Then it's fine.
He went to high school in Irvington, New Jersey.
Irvington.
And he went to college at Hofstra on Long Island.
I'm good with all of it. Then he's a New Yorker. All good.
So you're intrigued by Raheem Morris?
Yeah, because if you're like, he's from Cherry Hill, New Jersey. He lives near the mall. Then he ain't from New York.
Right.
Then he's from Philadelphia. Yeah, where all the bad people are from.
So are you into that? Is that a good hire? Would that excite Giant fans?
No, not.
Because he was a quote-unquote failed head coach a decade ago?
Listen, you know, Giant fans don't want Brian Flores because he's from Brooklyn. That's an add-on.
No, they want him because he was successful with the Dolphins.
It just happens to be that you have a candidate you like and, oh, by the way, grew up in Brownsville. I mean, that's an add-on.
And Flores doesn't fit this. The New York Giants' biggest problem over the last 2 years was what? With their team. It's an easy
one. New York Giants?
The biggest problem was what?
Yeah, offense.
Their offense. Okay, good. We're on the same page here.
I'm so glad I passed that test.
I know. I was worried.
There's a part of me that thought I might get that question wrong.
Do you guys want an offensive-minded head coach, or does that not matter?
Yeah, it's a very good question, actually. I have thought this whole time that you almost err on the side of you better get an offensive mind in here. But I guess if you're going to view the coach or the coach views himself, unlike Andy Reid, I'm having someone else run the offense.
Right.
I'm the CEO.
Right.
Well, then it's more important to me who you're getting to do that.
No, I see. And to fair perspective on this, the last three coaches the Giants hired after Tom Coughlin, Joe Judge, special teams, push him to the side. Pat Shurmur, offensive-minded guy.
Yeah.
Ben McAdoo, who just got the Carolina OC
job. He did get that job, right?
He did.
You know what? Good for him.
Look, he was a good coordinator.
I got nothing against McAdoo. Good for him.
Ben McAdoo got the most out of Daniel Jones. That will remain true possibly forever. So the Giants have gone the offensive way. They have.
I'm happy
with Ben
for
McAdoo and Pat Shurmur.
Yeah. And so what was your point?
My point is, does that matter to Giant fans that you want to go
with Evan. I think right now they want a guy that they respect, that they think is competent, you know, that's not going to try to, you know, sugar talk them, you know, after bad losses or start every press conference off by saying, that's a good team right there.
Right.
You know, hey, let's take some ownership. What'd we F up, right? You better have a guy because I do think a head coach should be a head coach and there should be coordinators. The Andy Reid model is just different than most. So who are you going to go out there to get? Who's going to run the offense? Because that's the next
That's the big question with Brian Flores, because when you look at what he did in Miami, in which I think he was overall very successful, that first year they won 5 games. They had no talent. Everybody thought they were going to go 1-15, and then they won games in year two, and obviously they closed well this year. The biggest knock on him would be, hey, coach, how come you had 4 different offensive coordinators? What happened? So you're right. Your staff that you hire is incredibly important. You're 100% right, especially if you have a young quarterback or you're trying to develop a quarterback and turn a quarterback around like Daniel Jones. That's one of the biggest red flags about Flores from his time in Miami. Overall success. But having 4 different coordinators in 3 years, I mean, yes, it's fair to wonder, okay,
now,
what's up with that?
Imagine this was happening here in New York, what's happening in Houston right now. The Houston Texans, it's not just rumors. I mean, they brought him in for an interview, are thought to have isolated who they want or who, as of right now in the moment, is their number one candidate to be their new head coach.
You're talking about the Texans?
The Texans.
Yeah,
not
yeah.
offensive coordinator.
Right.
Not defensive coordinator. They have the guy that they want, as of right now, to be their new head coach. And as one rumor goes, they want someone else to interview them. They want some other team to show interest in the guy so that they can say to their fan base, we're not the only ones that wanted him.
Oh, is he? I think I know.
Don't say yet.
Yeah.
So think about this. Could you imagine that you had a guy that's not going to be very popular with your fan base, and you're not going to hire him yet because you're hoping that someone else will validate your interest in
so
the guy.
So you're not the only one
by
interested.
Requesting an interview with the guy.
Can I, before I guess.
He was here.
The guy played in New York,
yes,
correct?
He did.
Yes, I know exactly who we're talking
Josh
about.
Josh McCown. Josh McCown is the leading candidate to become the new head coach of the Texans. Now, when Josh was here, everyone that ever met him said that guy's going to be a head coach one day.
Right.
He was great with younger quarterbacks. He understood his role. Clearly he's been a football lifer as a player, frankly.
Right.
And is well respected. Like, I remember when I interviewed him with Boom years ago, we were like, wow, that guy knows his bleep. That guy's going to be a coach one day.
Right.
But no one is interviewing him yet to be a head coach, well, except the Houston Texans want him.
Here's the problem, okay? With all due respect to Josh McCown, his only coaching experience is for, like, his kid's high school football team. I'm not kidding. That's his only coaching experience. How could you tell, especially minority candidates who have not gotten jobs over the years, because it does become this, that this guy's getting a head coaching job when he's done nothing?
He's never coached any level.
He's never, other than high school for his kid. Like, how do you explain that?
I don't know.
You can't hire him.
Well, they want to hire him.
So look, could they hire him? Sure. It looks awful. Bro, it looks awful.
So Pro Football Talk even just put out, it looks like, you know, they're questioning, would Mike McCartney, who's McCown's agent, Mike McCartney also represents Aiden Hutchinson, who's Michigan's stud, you know, defensive end pass rusher.
Going to be a top three, top four.
And a lot of people
pick,
think that he's going to be the guy the Jaguars take.
Could very well.
So the thought process amongst at least Mike Florio's crew is, does McCartney call up the Jags and say, look, do me a solid, I'll make you a negotiation with Hutchinson easy, and will you bring McCown in for a couple hours and just interview him?
Well, interviewing is fine.
No, but to help the Texans out. The Texans aren't going to hire him until another team says,
hold on.
We want to bring him in to interview for our job.
Oh, so you're saying, hold on, let me get this straight now. You're saying that the agent of Josh McCown
also represents Aiden Hutchinson.
So he's saying to the Jaguars,
being put out there by Pro Football Talk. I'm not saying it's happening.
I just want to marinate this in my head.
Yeah.
And he's telling the Jaguars, hey, Jacksonville, you're looking for a coach? Just interview McCown. You don't have to hire him.
Do me a solid. Just like Fred Wilpon said to the Expos, draft my son. People think he knows baseball.
I'll give news to the Houston Texans. You could have five teams interview Josh McCown.
Yeah.
If you hire him as your head coach, you look bad. I'm sorry. Am I wrong in saying that?
I mean, I like Josh McCown a lot,
Against Josh McCown. Can he be an offensive coordinator somewhere?
Can he
be a quarterback's coach somewhere?
You'll have a problem with minority candidates for sure.
Well, you should. Yeah. If you're Eric Bieniemy and you hear that Josh McCown just walked off the field, didn't coach anywhere and got a head coaching job, you would be pissed, and you have a right to be pissed.
Yes. Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. That's what the rhetoric will be, though. Yeah, poor Josh McCown didn't have to answer questions about are the Texans racist.
Look.
And then you had on the heels of that, them getting rid of a black quarterback in Deshaun Watson.
All you have to do.
You have the smoking gun
And a black head coach in David Culley.
And a black head coach in Culley.
It's very simple. It's very simple if you're the Texans, if you love Josh McCown. Just make him, put him on the staff, okay? Yeah. Let him do it for a few years.
Watch the Texans hire him as offensive coordinator before they hire a head coach.
Yeah, that's going to make the job so appealing, by the way.
Here's Jack in Brooklyn. Jack, what do you got?
Hey, boys. Win or lose come Monday, are the Giants allowed to talk to Eric Bieniemy?
No. Oh, if they lose,
if they lose, they can. If they win, they cannot. Once Sunday comes, you cannot talk to anybody who's still coaching.
Yeah.
What about this quarterback, backup quarterback for the Ravens? I think it was TJ Huntley.
Tyler Huntley. Tyler Huntley. You know, I'm glad you brought him up because I was thinking about this during the season until the last game of the season.
Oh, you mean to replace Danny Jones?
No, compete. Well, you can't.
Oh, so your version of Mariota or Trubisky. Okay.
Well, I think Huntley looked bad enough over the last few weeks where you've got a pause on this. But I think there were moments where you watched him and said, okay, that guy could be a serviceable backup quarterback in this league.
He didn't embarrass himself.
But I think my view on this, let's say you do want to give Daniel Jones another year, and there are some Giant fans who feel that way. at minimum, you have to bring in a real, real threat. Not just a backup quarterback, not just a guy who's capable of filling in if he's hurt the way Colt McCoy was. No, you got to bring in a legitimate, this guy has an upside threat for the job. And is Tyler Huntley good enough to qualify for that? I don't know. I hesitate. I hesitate, especially at the end. He didn't look great. I think it's more on the level of a guy who's had some success in this league. Like Mitchell Trubisky and Marcus Mariota, as much as I don't think they're the answer, they've quarterbacked teams to the postseason. They've been there. They've had some success in the league in which you could at least rationalize, all right, if I give them another opportunity after they've been humbled into being a backup, they have to win the job against Daniel Jones. There's more of an upside.
Yeah.
But to me, if you're going to run it back with Daniel Jones, it needs to be run back with a real threat for the job. Not a backup, a real threat for the job.
Yeah. I was just looking at, online at the contract status of Taylor Heinicke, because he would be an interesting guy. But he's under contract for next year. Wow.
Yeah, they paid him last year.
Not really.
Well, they signed him.
Yeah, but $1.5 million.
They only paid him $1.5 million.
Well, last year, 2021, his base salary was $1 million. Got $500,000 signing bonus. All in, he made 1.6.
What's his base upcoming?
1.5.
Really? They got him that cheap?
Yeah, he's an unrestricted free agent in 23. And they're another team, similar thing. Like, they're not 100% sure he's the guy.
Nah, they got to find a quarterback.
They're going to go out and try to find a veteran quarterback.
The thing about Huntley
I like that dude.
Right after that Green Bay game where he played really well and they almost pulled it off, I looked at Huntley and said, oh, maybe they got something with this kid. I think the game against the Rams and then certainly the game against the Steelers, at least to me, it didn't look good. And so it was like, I don't know. I'm not sure if he's the guy. But after that Green Bay game in mid-December, yeah, he was one of those guys you looked at and said, hey, bring him in. Let him compete with Daniel Jones.
I'll give you a list of guys. I'm going to go through it fast. You just give me yay or nay, all right? I'm not going to give you franchise-level quarterback.
No, the guys of this level.
Yay or nay, would you want him to compete with Daniel Jones?
To compete with Daniel Jones.
Go. All right, are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. Guy number one, Teddy Bridgewater.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Okay, Davis Mills.
Ugh.
That's a no. You said ugh. You can't go ugh to yes.
No.
That's too much to play that well.
No.
Yes, I say yes. No. You're banned from saying yes. You can't go ugh.
My initial reaction was ugh, but the
truth is, unless it's 4 o'clock in the morning and her name's Candy, you can't go ugh to yes.
He wasn't that bad, Davis Mills.
Okay, Tyrod Taylor.
My answer to Davis Mills is yes. Tyrod Taylor only, no. If I'm drafting a young quarterback as a caretaker, yes.
The name of this game is yay or nay.
Wait,
the name of this game isn't sound effects and lengthy explanations.
Wait, so this is the
ugh. It's yay or nay.
I changed my mind on Davis Mills. The answer is yay.
You changed your mind on every candidate I've given
you. No, I haven't. I said yay to Bridgewater, yay to Mills.
Start again.
No
now,
to
but I can't
you just
keep
said.
Track of those notes.
I start over.
Teddy Bridgewater.
Yay.
Davis Mills.
Yay.
Jameis Winston.
Yay.
Ooh. Tyrod Taylor.
No.
No, it's
nay. Nay, sorry.
Yay. Or nay.
I didn't say nay in a while.
So your first nay is Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah, nay on Tyrod Taylor.
Cam Newton.
Nay.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's done.
Marcus Mariota.
Yay.
Yay?
It's a slight yay.
Drew Locke.
Nay. He stinks.
Mitchell Trubisky.
I'm moving towards the yay. If I get Daboll, yay. Because I would trust him that he saw something he liked there. I know you could say the same thing about Shane, but Daboll works for them. So I'll go yay on Trubisky.
Geno Smith.
Nay. Nay and nay and nay and nay. Geno Smith.
Now, the other guys who are more franchise-level
Mark
guys.
Mark Sanchez.
No, Mark Sanchez is working for Fox right
yeah,
now.
Maybe he wants to come out of retirement.
He has a son, Mark Sanchez. Did you know that?
No.
You didn't know that?
I didn't care, but
yeah.
Okay, thank
Mark
you for
Sanchez
telling me.
Mark Sanchez has, like, I don't know, like a 5 or 6 year old boy.
Good for you, Mark.
I wonder, I don't know. Just put it out there.
Okay.
Well, thanks for telling me. He's allowed to have a child? Is that saying he's not allowed to?
No one's saying he isn't. It just was very weird.
He's allowed to at a level where it's not shocking he does.
No, I'm kind of surprised. I never heard about him getting married or any drama with the baby's mama or nothing like that. You know. I mean, last time I remember talking to Mark about girls, you know, the girl that ran out of his condo was going to take her SATs. But I met her at a club.
I mean, listen.
He did meet her at a club.
That happens.
Does it?
First episode of 90210. Brenda went into a club. She was only 16. How the hell was that guy supposed to know, even though she gave weird answers about college? How was he supposed to know?
You know.
How is he supposed to know? He's in a club. This girl
LT
sneaks
said
in.
The same thing. How was I supposed to know?
That's different. He wasn't at a club. An over 21 different. Club in downtown Beverly Hills. Brenda uses a fake ID to get in. And this guy, Jason, how I remember his name, I don't know.
Because you're weird.
But Jason was like, hey, what's up? You want to come back to my place?
Mike is in Ronkonkoma on the fan. Mike, what's up, buddy?
Hey, Craig, longtime fan. Respect where you've been and how far you've come.
Thank you.
I listen to you guys all the time. I just wanted to ask, I'm a Cowboys fan. I don't really want to talk about them too much. But if you had to predict when the next year would be when the Giants win the NFC East, what year would that be?
When they win it? If they get Deshaun Watson within 2 years, if they don't, it'll be 3 to 5.
You think Deshaun Watson will be able to put them over the hump in a couple of years over Dallas to win the division?
I think they're chasing the Cowboys talent-wise for at least the next couple of years. But I think Deshaun Watson's good enough where in a couple of years they might be good enough to win a division.
Okay,
but I think the Cowboys, and I'm not saying that it's not obvious, talent-wise, the Cowboys are by far the class of the East.
They are, but here's a very easy explanation for why it could very well be next year, okay?
Can't be next year.
No, I'm going to tell you the answer.
Can't be.
Last year.
Don't nod your head like next year's possible.
No, but let me.
You won four games there, Vince.
Okay, but you didn't hear at least my explanation
for why.
I was
talking to him, not you.
Yeah, because I think it's possible.
How many games in 2020 did the Dallas Cowboys win?
I have no idea.
They won 6 games. Now, obviously, the answer is Dak got hurt. Of course, right?
Yeah.
He got hurt. That can happen. It's the NFL. There are years in which
they didn't have their quarterback.
Because he got hurt.
Come on. I mean, injury, you can't use that.
Oh, yeah, injuries
That's
don't
not
happen.
Allowed.
Yeah, it doesn't happen. Injuries don't happen.
Injuries
in the
happen
NFL.
Every team every year. You know, the Giants had a lot of injuries. Well, the Jets had a lot of injuries.
But that's my point.
Yeah, well, you can't use that as the Giants can win the division if everyone else's quarterback gets
well,
hurt.
Well, no, of course. Obviously,
the
in the
Giants
next few years,
they won 4 games.
I know that, but the point is, as talented as Dallas is, and they are incredibly talented.
Yeah, they won 6 without their quarterback.
That's the point.
That's 50% more than the Giants won with their quarterback.
Well, I think they won 2 prior to him getting injured.
Anyway, you're not winning
they
the division
did.
Next year.
Yeah. Now, they were 2-3 when Dak got hurt.
Listen,
so they won 4 games with
Go
the
get Deshaun Watson, and I'm telling you, you could win a division.
No, I'm not arguing with you, but the question more directly was, and I don't think you answered it, and I
What's
think you're doing
question?
A disservice to the
Feel
caller.
Feel free. I don't want to do a disservice to anybody.
You did caveats the way I do. Direct question.
What's
what year
question?
Will the Giants win the division? Answer it.
The New York Giants. What year is this coming up?
2022.
It's already 22.
Yeah.
Wow. Huh. The New York Giants will win the division.
I'm writing this down. I will have this forever.
Have it forever. 22, 23, 24.
You're that high up?
26, 27.
It's been a while, in fairness.
30, 31, 30. The New York Giants will win the division in 2027.
2027? Okay. That's fair.
27.
So 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So 5 more years of not winning the division.
Doesn't mean you won't be in the playoffs as a wild card.
Well, yeah, look at 2016. They made the playoffs. They won 11 games. They didn't win the division that
year. That's right. You will win the division.
Wow.
5 years.
You know what that means, Craig?
I don't think they're going to get Deshaun Watson, is what it means.
The New York Giants haven't won a division in a decade.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
When's the last time the Jets won a division?
You brought the answer?
Well, 2002.
I know the answer.
We haven't won a division in 19 years. 2020 coming up.
20 years.
That deserves an ugh.
Yeah.
How do you go 2 decades and not by accident fall into a division?
Okay, can I answer that?
Oh, yeah, Tom Brady.
Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. Because in 2010, they were good enough. The problem is the Patriots.
Yeah. And now you got Josh Allen and the Bills looking like they're about to take a stranglehold for a little while. Although this last game aside, obviously, you know, Jet fans don't seem to have the same fear that the Bills are just going to dominate them the way that, or the division, the way the Patriots did for so long.
Well,
is that
because,
fair?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's definitely a fear that the Bills are legit, no
doubt.
Oh,
they're legit.
But I think that what the Patriots did for a decade and a half is historic. Like, teams don't normally do that. That's not a normal
Congratulations,
thing.
By the way. You used historic the right way there.
I did it on purpose for
you. That made me happy.
Yeah, I wanted to throw you a bone on a Friday.
Are we ordering in the Friday Prince Street pizza pepperoni like we always do, or we're not doing that? Well, I thought that was our new Friday thing. We rotate who gets it.
And
we
get I'll get it. Here's my credit card, Loogie. Pay
my
for
man,
it.
My man, pots and pans.
I'm in a good mood today. I got a little Nets game tonight I'm excited about. Hanging out with my kids this weekend.
Nice. Listen, it's the Prince Street pepperoni pizza. That's it. Don't complicate it. Don't ask questions. Well, yeah.
Somehow the credit card ended up right in front of you, Craig.
Yeah. Prince Street pepperoni pizza.
So 10 years for the Giants to win a division it's been, and 20 years for the Jets.
Think of that is.
What the hell?
Like, that's why I opened up the show. Was it on Monday this week or Tuesday this week saying we suck?
On football, we suck.
Like,
yeah.
It's just so annoying to suck this bad. Like, I can't wait for, this weekend. And I don't gamble anymore. I don't play postseason fantasy, which I don't play fantasy anyway. And I can't wait. Like, these games are going to be awesome.
Oh, I'm pumped up, too.
Yeah, it's going to be great. And I'm like, it's been 20 years since we won a division. Yeah. 10 for them, 20 for us.
What? Home playoff games are a foreign concept for us. Think about how many home playoff games we've had in the last few decades for either team.
Just how about the fact since the building's been built?
Excuse me. Since the building was built, the answer is one.
The Giants had one. Was it against Philly?
No, it was against Atlanta. 20-2 was the final score. Was it 20-2? When they beat Matty Ryan and the Atlanta Falcons, that was round one in 2011, and then they went on the road for the next two games.
Yeah, crazy.
That's
just it. Just crazy. One home game, forget about winning it, one home playoff
That's it.
Game.
There's nothing else.
And by
else.
The way, keep that date in mind. It's coming up. I think it's 2026, if I recall. The Jets and or the Giants have the right to break the lease. They are not contractually obligated to stay at MetLife Stadium. Now, the way it works is, it's first come, first serve. If the Jets break the lease, the Giants are not allowed to. They are then locked into the building. But either franchise, I'll double check, I think it's 26, mm-hmm. has the right to walk from MetLife Stadium with no penalty.
But you need somewhere to walk to.
Yeah, that's right. You do.
You got to go somewhere.
Yeah.
So if we're going to build a stadium on Long Island or Queens, let's get to work.
Just saying. It's that exists. That's in the contract. I know no one's paying attention to it. Kind of like Don't Look Up. But at some point, that asteroid's going to hit.
So what are you trying to say?
I'm just prepping you.
Prepping me for what, though?
The Jets are moving.
To London? We're still thinking this?
Well, I thought they were originally going to go to St. Louis.
I think
London's on the table.
Oh, God.
No, we're going to get our own. We're going to get a franchise. We're fine. We'll always have the Jets.
If we didn't get a franchise, let's say they moved and that's it. You have the Giants.
No,
you have enough.
Because the NFL, you have two New York teams. You're always going to.
Just hypothetically, they don't.
Yeah.
Would you be a St. Louis Jets fan?
No.
You'd be done with them.
I'd be a Giants fan.
That easy?
Yeah.
That easy for you to just say, I'm a Giant fan?
Overnight.
It would not happen for me.
Overnight. Let's go blue.
No way.
Overnight,
no.
I become a fan of the New York Giants.
No way.
Yeah, and you want me on that wall, too.
No, they don't.
Don't you, Big Mac? You want me on that wall, don't you?
No, they don't.
On the Giant fan wall?
Yeah.
We'll see if you stick around for the Yankee fan wall.
Well, that comes up in a couple.
Well, we'll see how that goes.
How do you do for the Yankee fan
wall? Oh, it was only the least pleasurable Yankee season in 2.5 decades, but,
That's all.
That's all it was.
I got you into the playoffs.
Great. You did? No, it wasn't a disaster. I said least pleasurable.
I gave you the best regular season Stan's had as a Yankee. I mean, I did these things for you.
Close.
It's not close. It's fast. Well,
he hit 30 and 100 his first year.
Last year was the best regular season.
Well, down the stretch, certainly.
Yeah, he carried the team.
Yeah, for a while.
Yeah. Anyway.
Thanks for that.
You're welcome.
And it really helps.
You're welcome. I told Booney the same thing. He didn't get back to me on that either. I go, you're welcome. He goes, for what? That's what he wrote back. For what?
You cannot be bowing about a wild card game loss. My apologies.
You guys messed that up.
It's Carton and Roberts on The Fan. WFAN, WFAN-FM, and WFAN.com.
All right, we'll start with, what the hell, Cincinnati and Tennessee? That's usually how we do it. I understand Henry's going to be back. I understand that he's a beast. I understand that he can control the clock. That's the way they like to play. They've won playoff games in that way. I think Cincinnati's on a roll here. I love what Burrow and this offense are doing. There's too many weapons. Tennessee's at the bottom third of the league as far as yards per game passing. I think they're an unstoppable. I don't think Tennessee is good enough defensively to slow this train down. Henry's coming back, hasn't played. They're going to have to rely on him. Is he ready to do that? I don't know. I'm getting 3.5. I will take Cincinnati. I think they win the game outright, to be honest with you, but I'll take him at plus 3.5 first game. Green Bay, I've had them all year as my Super Bowl pick. Aaron Rodgers is the MVP. Him and Adams are an unstoppable force. I think this is the year they're as healthy as they've ever been. This defense is as good as they've ever had it, I think, heading into a postseason. I think this is the year. I understand defensive front, offensive line, at the line of scrimmage, San Francisco has done a great job. I think their quarterback stinks. And if you're going to ask me coming down, maybe in a close game, who's going to do better, Aaron Rodgers or what San Francisco's throwing a quarterback, even though Craig might tell you they love him, give me the Packers minus 5.5 in Green Bay.
It sucks.
L.A. at Tampa Bay is the toughest game for me to pick, but I am doing it. This is the year. This is the game. Tom Brady is going down in his own building. L.A. has got it rolling here. I love what they did offensively. The schemes they threw last week I thought were brilliant. Up and down the field, they just absolutely trounced the Cardinals. Tampa Bay's banged up at the offensive line. And how do you get Tom Brady to lose a playoff game? You get pressure in his face. And with two offensive linemen possibly down here, including Wirfs, you can have Donald, you're going to have Miller. They're going to get after Brady. I think they're going to win this game outright as well. L.A. plus 3. And then the game of the weekend, obviously. I'm doing it. I was riding Buffalo all year long. The line first hit at 3.5. It's down to 1.5. That number scares the hell out of me at home against Mahomes, but I just think Buffalo's got it going. They got the best defensive backs in the NFL.
This is
I think they're going to be able to slow down this passing attack just enough. I think this offense and what Josh Allen has become here down the stretch, they can win you. They can beat you game running the ball. They can beat you throwing the ball. Give me Buffalo plus 1.5 to go into Kansas City and upset the Chiefs. So I got Cincinnati plus 3.5, Green Bay minus 5.5, L.A. plus 3, and Buffalo plus 1.5. Loogie.
All righty, let's start with the Tennessee Titan game.
Booyakasha.
Respect.
You got it, Boomer. The King has returned. That's right. Derrick Henry is back. The Bengals line is banged up. I think you get a Cincinnati team here that, you know, they got their first playoff win in a long time. Get a little bit of that letdown game. You have the better coach in Tennessee, Mike Vrabel. And the Titans, even though they're a one seed, doesn't feel like it. It feels like they're getting a little disrespected here. The Bengals are a sexy team. They like to throw it around a lot. And this is a Tennessee team we've seen when they've been sort of like disrespected, they always come up big. I know it's 3.5. I'd rather not have to lay the hook there. But I think the Tennessee Titans will take care of business against the Bengals.
Game Loser.
Number two. Hey, come on, boy. Game number two. I think the Niners can win this game outright, and I'm getting 5.5 points. I'll take it. All the pressure in the world is on the Packers. If they don't make it to the Super Bowl this year, the season is a total failure. The Niners are playing with house money. They arguably have the best skill position player on the field. I said it, Deebo Samuel. The guy could wreck the game out of the backfield and in the passing game. So give me the Niners plus 5.5. This one pains me. Tom Brady never forgets. The Rams in L.A. smacked around the Bucs early in the year, and I thought if they played again in the playoffs, I was going to take the Bucs, but I can't. This Buccaneer team is banged up, especially on the line. The Rams have a great pass rush. Those receivers, Kupp, Beckham, give me the Rams. I'm getting 3. And the final game went back and forth on this, but that line is just 1.5 with the Chiefs. They're begging you to take the Chiefs, so I'm going to be their Huckleberry. I'm going to take the Chiefs with Mahomes at home. Minus 1.5. So the Titans minus 3.5. The Niners getting 5.5. The Rams getting 3. And the Chiefs laying the 1.5. Evan, take it away.
Pathetic!
Every year, there's a team in the AFC Championship game that you just didn't really see coming. Started with Jacksonville in 17 when they were in the title game. The Titans in 19 came out of nowhere. The Bills didn't come out of nowhere, but the Bills playing in a title game felt unique.
They stink!
This is the year for Cincinnati. I really believe it. I really believe after watching Joe Burrow blossom into a star this year, that connection he has with Ja'Marr Chase. But here's the real thing about Tennessee. They win playoff games when Derrick Henry goes for 30 carries, 180 yards. That's the formula. They're not asking Ryan Tannehill to make big plays down the field. Can I expect after 2 months that Derrick Henry's just going to walk through that door and do that? I don't. Give me the Bengals getting the 3.5. Game number two, this is Green Bay's year, plain and simple. They're also getting healthier at the exact right time. They're getting Za'Darius Smith back. They're getting Jair Alexander back. They're getting Whitney Mercilus back. All these guys that have been out for a while on defense are coming back at the right time. Raheem Mostert's not walking through that door and going for 200 yards on the ground. It's not happening again. Give me Green Bay laying the 5.5. I think they're going to blow them out.
You suck!
Another Saturday night blowout. Game number three, I hate myself. I hate myself. Tom Brady versus Matthew Stafford. That's it. That's all I've got to say. I'm not picking Matthew Stafford against the GOAT, Tom Brady. Give me the Buccaneers laying the 3. And in game number 4, have people forgotten who the hell the Kansas City Chiefs are? Listen, I knew the Bills would beat the Patriots. That was like the strongest gut feeling I've had in a while. Can we all take a deep breath? They beat a lousy, overrated, soft Patriot team. That's what they did.
Sucks.
This ain't the Kansas City Chiefs. This ain't Patrick Mahomes. This isn't the defense that was giving up points and yards like a sieve in the first 6 weeks of the year. And this ain't Patrick Mahomes turning the ball over the way he did. Give me the Chiefs laying the 1.5. Cincy, Green Bay, Tampa, the Chiefs, divisional weekend in the NFL.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game 10, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.